Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
What's going on, Jordan?
It is an interesting day. I'm a little bit upset I didn't get to go with you and Luke to another women's basketball game, but had some good basketball this weekend.
Got back on that winning train. Obviously, I think the overall theme for today as a whole, as a sports fan in general, is somber. And we will touch on that later on, but we want to highlight the women's basketball game tonight or this morning afternoon. When were we there? It's been that kind of day. Yeah.
Well, let's pick it up from TCU and the men's, the SEC Big 12
challenge. How are you going to have a challenge where you can tie?
That's a good point.
5-5. So, I mean, that's a good point. We didn't get a splitter there. No one gets a win. So if that
I think they should take the two best teams from each conference. So Arkansas against Kansas and see what happens, right?
I mean,
the little playoff.
I think WWE has a pay-per-view called Royal Rumble, and with how Kansas does, that's what that one going.
Too soon. Nah, it's not. Screw those guys.
No, it's not.
So kind of some highlights from the men's game. Did you get to watch this? I know I tried texting you. I was listening to a lot of it. You had to work, so I didn't know. Yeah. Well, the biggest theme I picked up on is it was head-to-head going into the second half. It was, I think we were down by like, or up by like six or something. But anyway, momentum swing like a mofo coming out of half. They kind of played around. The next thing you know, I think we were up by as many as like 15 at one point, and then just took control. It was really good to see. You know, they kind of hit some adversity, and then boom, they're gone. I'll take care of this win.
Yeah, obviously the big part of that is no Isaiah Joe. Had some knee inflammation.
Yeah.
Sat him down. I guess so. Yeah. Prevent load management. I love that word.
I can't stress this enough, Dylan, because you took this Twitter dirt screenshot weeks ago about Desi Sills being a detriment to the team.
He gonna do things like he did against ECU.
Do you know his 3-point shooting percentage?
For last game?
Last game?
Was it a hundo?
Hundo, 3-for-3.
3-for-3.
Yeah. Coming out with 18 points, and you could see, I wish you could have, his energy, man. He took a steal right off the bat, hit that three, and
Chuck Barrett does a wonderful job.
Of course.
Telling you the energy of the
room. You can picture it, right?
Mm-hmm. I love the radio broadcast because you can hear Musselman, too, from time to time, and that's when you really know business is picking up.
That might not be a good thing sometimes based off his animation on the sideline.
You can hear the Diet Pepsi just hitting it.
But we didn't say, but they won 78-67. That score was actually a bit broader in the grand scheme of things by the time, you know, it was all said and done. But like I said, Desi was a big part. Jimmy Witt doing what Jimmy Witt does. Mason Jones, kind of seeing some maturity through him.
TCU played sloppy.
They did. Their big scorer, Desmond Bain, only ended up with 8 points, and he was Big 12's fourth leading scorer coming into the game. But he was a little off. Wasn't his best day. But also, man, we were pressuring that perimeter on him and kind of keeping him out of the paint. You know, he's a good drive-and-shoot kind of guy. And defense, man, defense won us that game. Like I said, Mason Jones, Jimmy Witt, both with 20. Desi Sills had 18. Adrio's stat lines just never does him justice with how he plays overall. But really good team win. Like I said, without Joe, we needed that, and it happened.
Yeah. It sounded like TCU was starting out. I don't know why, but they were going deep. Like, Chuck was having a hard time finding some of the names of the guys that were getting checked in because they were throwing freshmen out there. I don't know if they were trying to be different about it, but, you know.
Well, they were sloppy, and there was a lot of turnovers and not ball out of bound turnovers. Like, got a bunch of double dribble calls, got the over under call with the dribbling. I think there might have been 2 or 3 3-second violations and stuff. I mean, wasn't their best game, but they came in the bud and got scared with their pants. That's what happened.
Our resident homer with Coach Z on the broadcast, too. He
can't hide it.
He wasn't nice to him, man. He was
in what way?
Talking about how sloppy they were, yeah. And he also was like, I don't know why they're playing so many freshmen and going this deep in the bench because they don't have anything on the bench. And just because you have people there doesn't mean you need to actually play them. And I was like, wow.
Well, your boy Ethan Henderson got some playing time.
He should be getting a little bit more just strictly because he can get his arms up.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, with this team, a body for a minute or two would be nice.
He looks a little lost out there, though. I was paying attention because he was finally in there. You know, we haven't seen him, it seems like, in, what, 4 or 5 games probably?
I'm like
that. And he just kind of looks a little lost. I don't know.
I was hoping that he kind of put a little bit more on, and he maybe has. It doesn't show because he was pretty lengthy and skinny his freshman year last year. And I was hoping he'd get a little more weight onto him so he could, you know, bruise some people. And, you know, looking at the bench, all I really see is Bell. Like, heck, let him body some guys around for a few minutes.
I wonder if Bell, we've talked about Bell a lot just because of the sheer size, because they're down Kevin Samuel at the beginning of the game. I'm like, man, I think he scored their first 8 or 10 or something like that.
And they
that.
Went
I'm
away like, from him.
They went away, but also, though, again, Musselman, we started, Adrio and Chaney were bodying him a lot, and this one particular play early, Witt was on him, and they just literally threw it over the top of Witt. Nothing you could do, turn around, easy bucket. Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed the adjustment that was made is they kept fronting him like that, but they were sneaking little hairs in the backside of it on the baseline, and as soon as he turned around, swatting at the ball, and then
Harris had a wonderful game.
Harris is a hell of a point guard.
And another one of those deals where if I had to just blindly ask you who would hit the first three for the Razorbacks, you're not going to say Jalen Harris.
I mean, if you wanted to be a little crazy, maybe Bailey, but not Harris.
Yeah.
So. Bailey is not scared to throw him up a couple times. But anyway, overall, real good win. And
Musselman said that was the best complete game all around. Would you agree with that?
I think so.
With the head coach, right?
Yeah, right. I think so, though. I kind of got away from it. But Mason Jones, his maturity, what I'm talking about, is he kind of started cold. I think he, off the top of my head, I think he might have had like 2 points or something in the first half. But he realizes things aren't going his way, he starts being a facilitator and playing more defense and stuff, which is obviously good. But you kind of worried about that early, like, dadgum, Jones isn't on. But then you had Witt out there doing what he does. Just
Witt is, I think, something that doesn't really get talked too much is his defense.
Yeah. Really.
I mean, everyone, you know, his shot's funky. He looks weird at the free throw line, but he's consistent at the elbow and in the paint. We all know that. But for the size and where he's at as a defender, he, you know, obviously the whole team as a whole has stepped up their defensive play, but
hands.
Witt is active there, so.
And mind you, he was the only one on the court that played the whole game. He didn't sit down, and he was able to keep that energy from the beginning all the way to the end. And man, is he not a godsend to us this year with kind of the way things were working and looking? Silla made some pretty boneheaded plays early on, but he finally started scrapping. You know, looking at his stat line, it doesn't really tell the whole story because he got in the way of some passing lanes and some deflections and stuff. But yeah, I would agree. Probably the best overall the team has looked on the court so far this year.
I mean, as a head coach, I don't think you could have asked for a better opponent after the last two games than TCU.
Yeah, the upside to the downside is that they just came off of a big win against Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking they're bringing some juice, but the good side of it is they had to come to Bud Walton.
Yep.
So if we'd, the announcers actually kind of kept talking about that throughout the first half, saying that if we'd have been at TCU, it probably would have been a lot closer the whole way, which is, I mean, I'd say, tell me if you agree, home court advantage means more in the home advantage realm than in any other sport. Would you agree with that in basketball?
Okay, yeah. Like, I'm assuming you mean in basketball.
I said home court. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd agree with that because with football, every, you know, unless you're playing at smaller schools, like, every one of them is going to be packed or loud. It doesn't really matter. Loud is loud. Quiet is quiet. But it's a different deal inside.
I feel like the players can thrive off of that a little bit more. It's closer.
It's louder, a tempo it's game. Echoing. It's a game of runs, as all the stuff you hear. But the ladies, they also had a nice bounce back win against Florida. They finished that game out 79-57. They went on like a 5-minute run at the end too, and it was complete. They led for pretty much the whole game. I think it was 37 minutes that they led.
Well, my boys was on the Twitter real well, and I was keeping up with it via that way, and it looked like they took a lead pretty early on. When this team, though, when they're going, it ain't nothing for them to hit 80 points.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We win by 22, and Dungy's in single digits.
I was just noticing that stat line there, yep. Yeah. So, what was the deal there? They play good defense on her? Was it a good game plan or just not?
They watched the Georgia game. Florida watched Georgia. Georgia exposed. I mean, Mike Neighbors said it as much in the press conference. And Arkansas adjusted there. And when that happens, you're going to have – you saw Daniels that was finishing. It was more drives, finishing the drives. And
did she listen to our show last time?
I'm just saying. The real thing they touched on was – the big three, and I got to kind of give a shout-out to Coach Neighbors because he's like, the triplet word we can't really say around these parts. So they kept referring to, I'm assuming, Ramirez, Tolfrey, and Dungy as the big three. And it was, you know, the idea was to shut them down. And we heard that from Florida's coach. He said, we held the big three that you guys have to 29 points, so we thought that was a win. And then Daniels gets 20 or 19. So you had five players in double digits. So that's
and
a
like
recipe.
We talked about last show too. She can do it. Mm-hmm. If she just gets the confidence to do it, she can do it.
Yeah. She was 3-for-4 from three. She was 8-for-10 from, for field goals on that side of things. Really a stat line and just overall, throughout the year, Tolfrey has just been complete stat sheet stuffer in terms of what her size there. 5 rebounds, 4 assists. She had 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean.
Yeah, 7 rebounds. You're jipping her. Sorry. I was looking at Taylor. That's my fault.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, she didn't lead in there. So.
Yeah. No, she – and we've talked about that as well, man. Like, she gets dirty. Like, she goes and gets them dirty rebounds when everybody else is kind of, elbowing the hell out of each other. She's in there like, I'll take this, sneak out the back, throw it down to Ramirez, and boom, 3 points.
And they all kind of had their own individual stretches, which was nice. Daniels put together a really nice series, I think 2 threes back-to-back, and then she had a spin inside the paint that was, almost an ode to Kobe, very Kobe-esque in terms of that. And I believe I got a nice little picture of that. Maybe I'll send that out sometime. So I'm getting a little bit better. I am far from the sports photographer. So I'm I don't know what word I'm looking here.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to get to sports photographer level through basketball and baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
And then come football, you're going to forget you have a camera. It's not that you don't sports.
I've tried to shoot a football game, but I can't do it.
I can't watch
a football game through a lens.
I have zero faith in you that you would take one good picture during a football game.
It's like my lens cannot focus in on all 22.
You're going to be looking at that right guard. You're going to take a look at his step out for the pull, and it's not going to work out. You're going to end up taking a picture of the water boy.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you on that one. So,
you're getting pretty dang good in the basketball realm.
If we go that route, we will have to hand that off to somebody else. So,
I don't think I think.
Well, yours will just be shaky because you're going to be jumping up and down. So
yeah, I can't sit still.
Obviously, we love that we are part of media for the women's game. It has definitely been a exciting and new adventure for us as a whole, I would say, here for JRD. And I love the idea of that with the football, you know, football team. But I was also hearing, like, hey, man, you guys have to stick to the etiquette, you know. Plain Jane, don't wear colors, you know, mm-hmm. try to keep the hogs to a minimal, no cheering in there. And it's like, I don't even cheer all that much in terms of, like, vocally and being up and hollering. But I do from time to time, and when I do, it's probably a big spot.
Where a picture is needed.
Where a picture might be needed. So, if that time comes, it's going to be rough to be in the, you know.
I've already kind of shit on that etiquette a little bit because at the A&M game, I was watching the girls, and, you know, we were right in that thing for a long time, and I'm over here like, what are you doing? Or that's not right. Or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Luke kind of chirped at me once because the hog call started and like, hey, you can't do that. And he says, I can always do the hog call.
You don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean, ultimately we're a podcast for fans. We want to be with the fans. Right. And
exactly.
It just sometimes like I have a hard time in, I'm going to say I'm snobby, but I have had opportunity to be on the indoor club, and I don't like it in there, man. They're not doing hog calls inside the club at the, you know, indoor, outdoor. It doesn't matter. It's a completely different deal, and that's my problem with the north end zone. It's like, that's wonderful-ish. We added that on, but I feel like everyone that's in that north end zone that's paying that money is sitting behind the glasses having their free drinks and their free food.
Like I said, you're not, you don't want to take a jab at those people because at the end of the day, they're fans, and a lot of them, I mean, those seats ain't cheap, but they're not going to be in those seats outdoors when it's 25 degrees and we're playing, you know, LSU at home or something like that. They're going to be inside nice and warm, and not a big fan of that. Yeah. Like, be out there, be miserable with your team, and set your ass outside and get frostbite.
I mean, I'm going to be telling my little ones, their little ones, about the 17-0 with their Uncle Luke, and we were freezing. We were trying to get as much hot chocolate to the wife as much as we could, yeah. And then we ended up storming the field because that's part about being a fan.
And the part you're not saying is you probably spilled your wife's hot coffee or hot chocolate.
No. Am I still here? If I spilled the hot chocolate, I would not be here today to be telling the story.
Or you just got the hell in that field real quick and she didn't have time to kill you.
The only way the story would be told is in court documents.
That's probably true. I think she can kick your ass on any day.
Okay, fair enough. I won't back down on that one. Or I will back down on that one.
You need to back down on that one. We need to do the part we're dreading, buddy.
Yeah, so this will be our tribute.
So there's 9 lives lost today. Haven't gotten the full the names of all of them, but 2 of them being Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna in a helicopter crash outside of Los Angeles. And right as that clip's playing, I'm reading a statement from Michael Jordan. It's tough.
You're just seeing them all come in and seeing how it's impacting multiple people and guys that have shown, like, a lot of motion on the court, but that's what you see in the game. Like, seeing Dwayne Wade broken up about it, it makes the best of you, you know? And it's a cliche for a reason. Sometimes it's bigger than sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the tone of the day. And stuff like this happens, and you just hug those important people a little tighter throughout the day. Whenever and you see them, and makes you take a step back and look at life in general, and then it allows them to continue that legacy. Kobe, I mean, it really lets it might be a pivotal point, you know, for someone else. Like,
could be.
It might be someone's chance to take an extra step because of it, and it's like, I can't waste an opportunity. You don't know when you're, you know, how long.
I don't know when your clock's up, man. Yeah. Sitting here looking too, looks like there might be some sort of, I guess, petition, if you will, to put Kobe as the NBA logo. And I feel that is, how big of a nod can you ask for outside of that?
I mean, he does that, kind of have that iconic lean. I mean,
on his jumper.
Yeah, there's plenty of those jumpers where you see it. And that would be one heck of a story from Laker to Laker in terms of logo going Jerry West to the Kobe. And, you know, my basketball career wasn't very long. I'll be completely honest there. It was cut short, literally, because I am short. And I didn't realize, like, I grew up watching Kobe. That's where it was. That's just that age in me right there, and that kind of tells you. Jordan was highlights and YouTube and reruns on SportsCenter and ESPN. That's how I knew Jordan, besides him in a Wizards jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of things I didn't realize just overall in competition that I picked up from Kobe. So it's amazing how he affected just outside of it. And then I think it's any time that you are known by just your first name is a big deal. And any time you can basically mention him to somebody that probably hasn't watched a minute of basketball, they still know who he is, that's a big deal. Because this was more than basketball. I mean, he was an entrepreneur. He was all about that money in terms of growing it outside of it. I know he had plenty of ventures on that front.
Muscle Academy Milk? Award winner.
Was it Muscle Milk? He had one of those sports drinks that just kind of blew up, but I cannot think of it right now.
I'm not 100% sure, but like you say, Academy Award winner. It was weird for me today because you told me about it. And the reason you told me about it was in what you said when you told me about it, and like, how is Bleacher Report not broke this yet? And, you know, maybe good on them at the end of the day, because there was a lot of false things going out there. At one point, people were saying Kobe and all four of his daughters were in the helicopter with him. So maybe good on Bleacher Report. They annoy me a lot, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one.
I mean, they definitely waited to see how it played out. It probably, in terms of their alerts, I mean, they did eventually hit the alert, of course, but
right. It
was, I would probably say, about 2 hours after, maybe an hour and a half after, because I think TMZ was kind of the first one that broke. And TMZ is a tough one to, because me personally, and we were at the game, me and producer Luke, we were at the women's basketball game, and so we were around some other media members, and I initially heard it from Bobby Swoffer. And, I mean, even from him, I was just kind of like, well, let me double check this, and already kind of seeing where else it broke. And at that time, all I saw was TMZ, and he was making his case that now TMZ is a connected news outlet, and that they're past being a paparazzi of sorts,
right?
Because of who they've employed since then, and just how much they've built. And he was trying to make their case, and that's just the first people that saw broke it, but I understand the delay, especially on the other names. Like, it seemed like the Kobe one was pretty quick because it was his personal private helicopter. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of, you know, unfortunately jump to that conclusion on that side of things. Not a good look. It was an ABC reporter on
ABC
air.
ABC broke the
that,
four.
Was saying that all four of his daughters were in there. And it didn't sound right when he was even reporting it. And he probably, I don't know if he's retracted on that at all, but he obviously should have.
Yeah, stuff like that, you got to let go, kind of develop. If TMZ got it, then let TMZ take it home and, you know, get the facts on the matter. But I tell you what's weird for me is when you told me this, I got, it was like a personal sadness. It wasn't just like a, you know, dang, that's sad for Kobe's family and all that. It was like a personal deal, and I kind of started thinking about it like, man, like, I've watched Kobe my whole life. I did get the honor of getting to see, you know, Jordan in the Bulls uniform and stuff, but, you know, what, 2-3 years or something like that. But then it was Kobe. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, we had a mutual friend of ours today call me about it. Like, he was messed up about it. I mean, that, like you said, he has touched, there's no telling how many lives one way or another, and ours from completely afar. But, you know, my basketball days, I wasn't terrible. I mean, not a NBA player by any means, but, you know, I tried some stuff out, picked up a couple of things from Kobe's game. And you were saying earlier, you know, like, who gets to have their name said in Podunk, Arkansas while someone's throwing trash into the trash can? And I mean, it's a tough deal. Kind of uncharted territory for me and you doing this podcast, and something like this comes across the, you know, alerts, and we would be doing a huge disservice to the game of basketball, to Kobe, the NBA, and everything if we didn't bring it up. But it's tough. I mean, it's, weren't in a huge recording mood today because of this, you know. It's just insane. He's the guy that he had a checkered past here and there, some things that came out through his career, but for someone to just, you can tell how much the game of basketball meant to him during that. And then clips going around, we've all seen the GIF or whatever you want to call it, a little short shot of him teaching his daughter the game on the sidelines at a Lakers game. And that was Gianna, who is no longer with us as well. And it's a tough day, man. I'm not a big fan of it.
Well, it's definitely a tough one to talk about. And you have each time, I mean, it's going to be next few days full of it, and tributes, rightfully so. It's going to be hard to avoid it if you're kind of one of those people. And honestly, I am one of those people that it's weird. I mean, it's a grieving process. You didn't know this guy personally, but he's the reason that I would watch basketball and enjoyed basketball. Like, early on, I would have said I was a Lakers fan in terms of, because I, you know, I was watching teams with, you know, him and Shaq, and that was exciting. It was exciting basketball. The games against the Celtics were phenomenal finals, and, you know, it also kind of helped Derek Fisher being out there. But
right,
it was just one of those deals where when you are where we're at, you can't, like me personally, it's like, okay, I enjoy this sport, I enjoy basketball, but who am I going to root for? And you're just watching this guy do things that are, you know, as a little guy, you're like, man, that's like superhuman. I mean, that's, that's what some of these athletes are. And it's like, that's a guy I can root for. And
I've got the name here, another one of the victims. I don't know, is it victims in that scenario? I'm not sure what the – another one that passed away is Orange Coast College baseball coach John Altobelli. Heard earlier, I couldn't remember the name, but it's sitting here in front of me now, and apparently him and Kobe were pretty good friends, so he was another one with them. And something that we'll admit it, we've kind of gloated that we are a one-take podcast. We don't make mistakes, but we had some technical difficulties, and we tried to mention this earlier, but, you know, talking about the greatest of all time, it's LeBron or Jordan. I don't understand why Kobe's not been brought up in that.
It was always a head scratcher for me. It was, you know, because LeBron is definitely the one that is being talked about now and everything, and it was jumped to that conclusion. I don't know if it was that he rocked 23 or, I mean, LeBron is obviously an amazing player and can be considered in that conversation of greatest all of time, especially all around, but we're not getting into that because, you know, time or place, but it always scratched, you know, was a head scratcher for me why Kobe wouldn't be brought into it, because you have to respect what he did. I mean, he was a Laker technically all the way through his career. I mean, playing time wise. So people are real, you know, some, you know, you have those folks that want to point out that he was drafted by Charlotte and all that good stuff, but you gotta think about where those minutes are. It wasn't really his choice on that deal.
Right. And also something I think needs to be mentioned is Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, is now retiring 24 forever in that organization, I guess, at least until he's no longer the owner. I'm not sure how that works, but an owner of film. And I think that there's going to be a lot of tributes like that over the next few weeks and possibly some that stick through the duration of the NBA. I mean,
he's the type of player that deserves Jackie Robinson kind of deal. And like I said, have a day of some sort. If you can set it aside, work it out, tribute. I think it'd be kind of cool. I don't know how the NBA would work it out, but if you could have everybody rocking an 8 or a 24 on the court, I mean, I think that'd be pretty cool to see.
And or at least in a tip-off scenario or something, you know, and then they can rip them off.
Yeah, we've already seen a lot of tributes same day, and you're seeing, I mean, I saw Tyson Chandler breaking down in the middle of the game, and we saw 8-second violation while Trae Young was wearing number 8. What else did we see?
We had the 24-second offensive shot clock violation. And
on both teams, back-to-back. That was,
I believe it was Toronto and Portland, I think, was who those teams were. They were tipping off just, you know, 30 minutes after all that kind of came down. And just, it's tough. It's just a tough deal. Like I said, getting on here tonight was kind of rough, and I think you probably felt the same way I did. You were busy doing the media stuff. You couldn't really have time to really process it all until you got done with it. But for the majority of it, I've been able to sit here and watch ESPN. I saw ESPN break it. You got it to me before ESPN said anything about it. And the Staples Center, people started going to the Staples Center like as soon as they found out, walking and putting.
Did you see they told them not to do that?
Because of the Academy Awards or whatever? Because
the Grammys.
Grammys?
Yeah. It's like, we got the Grammys going on tonight. Please don't crowd around the Staples Center.
Yeah, piss on that. I would have.
You're not going to tell Los Angeles fans that. You're not going to tell them to go away.
And see, that's what you said, fans. I feel like that. Think of how we feel about it right here. Mm-hmm. L.A., man. You know L.A. Just people that, like you said, don't really follow basketball too much. But Kobe Bryant's, I don't like saying God, king. He's the king in L.A. Mm-hmm. And will be, he will forever be that, even more so now with the way his life was cut short. And I feel bad. It's been happening all day. ESPN's apologized for it multiple times. Kenny Mayne did a really good job with this, but he made sure to point out those other lives that were lost or not. It's not that they aren't as important, but they just haven't been released. The families have not allowed that to happen yet. Right. So that'll come in. It might come in tonight, probably be something tomorrow, but you know, prayers to all those families affected by this, and just, it's tragic. That's all I can really say about it.
Absolutely. This is, you know, you're saying we were at the game, and of course, I wasn't going to be the person, but I knew in the post-game press conference the question was going to be asked, and it was asked. But, who'd they have as the players? They had Mikayla Daniels and Godwin. Am I saying her name right?
Golden.
They were the players that were for the post game, and they got asked about it, and they said that they heard at halftime. And I mean, halftime you're hearing that stuff, and then you got to go play another 20 minutes of basketball. And they were really, you know, talking about his impact on the women's basketball game, because he's definitely branched out more on that side of things, especially with his daughter being an up-and-comer. I mean, think about it. These college coaches were probably starting a relationship with her in terms of trying to recruit and get to know and try to make that deal. And Mike Nabors kind of touched on that because he said a lot of them met her at camps and that kind of stuff. And Mike Nabors touched on it. He reiterated just how much he meant to women's basketball because he had four daughters and he had an up and comer, and he wanted to give to that and make the game better. It's tough, man. I didn't think it was going to affect me as much because I could tell it was. I can usually come. What's the word I'm looking for? Not grieve, but I can usually pack it away a little easier than most and just kind of move on. But it was tough to see in that aspect because you saw it in real time affecting folks because we're at a basketball game and this was an icon in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And like the media, the first quarter when the media knew this going on, there was folks behind us that you could tell they just weren't really in tune to the Razorback game that's going on because they were trying to sift through the sources and there was one guy that was kind of running with the four daughters news that came out. And at that time, like you're sitting there going like, whew, if that's true, Vanessa just lost her whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how can you just continue?
Stuff like that. I tell you, man, like it was tough for me. Me and Grace were supposed to come back home and just have a chill day, watch movies and stuff. And I flipped on ESPN and kind of left her on the couch. She was into it too, though. You know, she was sitting there like, oh, that's terrible and stuff. But then the four daughters thing came up. And at this point, it wasn't even confirmed Gianna was in there. It was just cumulative, all four daughters. I'm like, oh God, that's not like you said. I couldn't fathom at all, and not that it made it any better, just being Kobe and those other victims. But like I say, victims. I know that's not right, but then it did come out. It was confirmed that Gianna was with him, and that just put a whole nother feeling on the whole matter. And you know, she's, like you said, she's an up-and-comer. She's been in the news a lot. Her face has been on TV a lot because of not only who she is, but the talent that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awful. You gotta understand that you don't know when your clock's up, and it's, you know, love like it's your last day. You know, give the people you care about the love and support. Tell them that you love them. This is tough.
I mean, it was definitely one of those deals where when we're getting together and trying to do the pre-production notes and writing through, this is a tough one to segue out of or lean into anything else. Ultimately, we can't really do that. So I think it's just best let it ride out. We got to wrap this. I mean,
yeah.
It's a little short, but like Jordan said, it's a disservice to the game of basketball, to Kobe, his family, if we didn't really talk about it. And also I don't think I could have not talked about it.
No.
It would have been impossible. But Mamba out.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through. Then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
Let me tell you.
When I see you again.